hopelessly formal, she always thought, but he hadn't put a foot wrong since he took up the post 3 months after her coronation. The other two, both wearing civilian suits, were a less welcome sight. Roche Stark, the director of the ESA office on Ombé, smiled politely at his princess and inclined his head. Despite Deneering, he was a rotund man in his 80s and 20 centimetres shorter than Kirsten. He had held his post for 13 years, dealing with threats and perceived threats throughout the sector with pragmatism and a judicious application of abstruse pressure on the people who counted. Foreign governments might grumble endlessly about the ESA and its influence, and meddling in local internal politics, but there was never any solid proof of involvement. Roche Stark didn't make the kind of elementary mistakes which could lead to the diplomatic embarrassment of his sovereign. Yannicka Dermot, on the other hand, was quite the opposite of the demure ESA director. The 50-year-old woman wore a flamboyant yellow-and-purple cord-stripe suit of some expensive silk analog fabric, with her blonde hair arranged in a thick, sweep-back style. It was the kind of consummate power-dressing favoured by corporate executives, and she looked the part. However, her business was strictly the grubbier side of the human condition. She was the chief of the Internal Security Agency on Ombé, responsible for the discreet maintenance of civil order throughout the principality. Unlike its more covertly active sister agency, the ISA was mostly concerned with vetting politicians and mounting observations on subversives or anyone else foolish enough to question the Saldana family's right to rule. 95% of its work was performed by monitor programs. Fieldwork by operatives was kept to a minimum. Also within its province was the removal of citizens deemed to be enemies of the state, which, contrary to popular myth, was actually a reasonably benign affair. Only people who advocated and practiced violence were physically eliminated. Most were simply and quietly deported to a Confederation penal planet from which there was never any return. Quite where the boundaries of the respective agencies' operational fields were drawn tended to become a little blurred at times, especially in the asteroid settlements or the activities of foreign embassy personnel. Kirsten, who chaired Ombé's Defence and Security Council, often found herself arbitrating such disputes between the two. It always privately amused her that, despite the nature of their work, the agencies were both basically unrepentant, empire-building bureaucracies. "Sorry to disturb you, ma'am," Sylvester Gerais said. "The matter was deemed urgent." "Naturally," Kirsten said. She datavised a code at one set of high double doors and gestured for them to follow. "Let's get on with it." The doors opened into her private office. It was a tastefully furnished room in white and powder blue, though lacking in the ostentation of the formal state office next door, where she received diplomats and politicians. French windows looked out into a tiny walled garden where fountains played in a couple of small ornamental ponds. Glass-fronted cabinets and bookshelves stood around the walls, heavy with exquisite gifts from visitors and institutions who enjoyed her patronage. A malachite bust of Alistair II sat on a pedestal in an alcove behind her desk, Ali looking over her shoulder as always. A classic Saldana face, broadly handsome, with a gravity the sculptor had captured perfectly. She remembered her brother practicing that sombre poise in the mirror when he was a teenager. The doors swung shut, and Kirsten datavised a code lock at them. The processor in her desk confirmed the study was now physically and electronically secure. The data package said there had been a new development in the Equen case, she said as she sat in her high-backed chair. "Yes, ma'am," Yannicka Dermot said. "Unfortunately, there has." Kirsten waved a hand for them to sit. "I didn't think it would be good news." "I'd like to bring in Admiral Farker," Sylvester Gerais said. "Of course." Kirsten datavised the processor, for a security level 1 sense environ conference and closed her eyes. The illusion was of a curving, featureless white chamber with a central oval table. Kirsten sat at the head, with Roche Skark and Pasco Farker on one side, and Yannicka Dermott and Sylvester Jere on the other. Interesting that the computer should be programmed to seat the two agency directors opposite each other, she thought.